to tell you, it is the single greatest blessing to live in God's will, to know what God has for your life and to live in that, to live in God's will. And there's many people that go through their whole life not knowing what God's will and desire is for them, and it makes life very frustrating. That's why you have midlife crisis. That's why people commit suicide, amongst other things, and live a challenging life. So I want to show you from the scriptures how to live in God's will all your life. Amen. We started with this foundation passage. Y'all got your Bible? We started with this foundation passage in Romans chapter 12 that everybody's familiar with, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But I want to show you the pretext, because remember, whenever you see therefore in the Bible, it's there for a reason. That passage, Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will of God. So he's talking about the will of God there, but he starts out, and we always quote those two verses, but the pretext, which is in verse chapter 11, 33 through 36, is he's explaining why you have to do that. And so let's start there, all right? And tonight we're going to talk about the will of God and just what the Bible calls, I want to reveal it. Yeah, let's go on. Look in your Bible, Romans chapter 11. Y'all there? Make some noise. I can't tell y'all there. All right. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, for the pretext. Look what he says. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How rich it is, right? How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You've heard that passage before when people say things like, oh, the ways of God are too hard to understand and they're unsearchable. You know, that kind of thing. Watch, that's where he's quoting out of the Old Testament here, Paul is. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Next, he's quoting all the passage. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid him. Verse 36 is this answer. His answer. We're going to read it in King James, and I'm going to read it in Amplified Bible. He says, the answer is who can know the mind of Christ? Who can know the ways of God, the will of God? Who can know that? Watch this. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. What he's saying is, it's through him. Because of him, we find out everything who we are, everything we're called to be, everything we're called to do, everything is found in him. Put in the Amplified for me up there. Watch this. For from him, remember the question, who can know the mind of the Lord? How can we know his ways? How can we know that, right? For from him and through him and to him are all things you need to know. Everything you want to know is found in him. Watch this. For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen. So be it. He says, anything that you need to know about life is going to be found in him. Amen. Paul spent most of the New Testament explaining that. Now, go to verse 12. I mean, chapter 12, verse 1. I'm sorry. Chapter 12, verse 1. He's completing the thought. Watch, he says, I beseech you, therefore, because everything is found in him, the will of God for your life. Everything you need to know about your life, about raising kids, about what you're born to do, everything is found in him. I beseech you, therefore, because of this, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and two things he's saying here. Don't be conformed to this world. How do I not be conformed to this world, Paul? But be transformed, or metamorphosed is the word there, by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove, or show proof of, show evidence of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The way I know and show and live the will of God, because it's all in Christ, I therefore have to present my body a living sacrifice, number one. You say, what does your body have to do with it? I'm going to explain all that. All right? That's why you're here. Number two, I have to not be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can know that will of God. So y'all understand it. I'm going to explain this. I'm going to get into it today. But the will of God for you and I and every single person is found in Christ and their personal relationship with him. All right, and that sounds so simple, and it is simple, but we seem to we make it confusing. So I want to simplify it today. Are y'all with me? All right, watch this. The New Testament concept of the will of God must be understood in terms of being versus doing, going, or having. One of the most frequently questions I'm asked is about the will of God. How do I know my purpose? How do I know my destiny? And what Paul is saying here is, and we'll show it to you in the scriptures, it's all throughout the New Testament, the will of God is more about being than it is going, doing, and having. When most people ask me about the will of God, they're wanting to know, should I work this job or work this job, move to this city? They're wanting to know what to do or where to go, or should I buy this house or not? Should I get married and not? They're asking about doings, about having, about going somewhere. And what the Bible says is, it's you gotta be. All of that is secondary, and all of that unfolds as you be who you're born to be. And so he's saying, if you don't, as a born-again believer, get your body in line and get your thinking in line, you'll never know the will of God. The will of God for you and I is in Christ, which we're going to find out is in you. Just stick with me tonight. They were shouting when they left here this afternoon, because they understood this, and you're going to understand it too. All right? So the will of God is found, followed, and filled in being united to Christ, that union with Christ, and you walk in the light of it in relationship with him. All right? Shanae and I are married. Y'all know that. Our life, our union together, produced fruit in our life. Right. Automatically. Because we have this love, this intimate love for each other, it produced something that we couldn't do on our own. And so let me read to you again. I read part of it last week in John chapter 15. John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all Jesus, the Last Supper and in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's some of the most important statements that he made, because he's telling them, here's what's going to happen and here's what you need to do. And so it's for all of us. But let's take a look at it. I'm reading the verse 1 through 16, John chapter 15. Y'all remember this? I'm the vine, you're the branches, so on and so forth. Some of the most awesome passages in the New Testament. But watch this. I'm going to read it all the way to, am I going to 16, I think? Yeah. In the Passion Translation. Watch this. I am the true sprouting vine, Jesus is, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches. Say, that's me. Come on, y'all. Say, that's me. We're the branches connected. He cares for the branches. The Father cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. Next. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. Now, y'all know that. The way you got born again was receiving the word of God. He said, the word of God has already made you born again. That's how you got saved. By the incorruptible word of seed of the word of God, right? That's how we got born again. You've already been cleansed with that. So, after you've gotten born again, though, he says, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. What this whole thing is, y'all, is a relationship just like marriage that produces the fruit of God in you and in your life. Shanae and I got married, and we've produced children, we've produced ministry. All this came from us. We sat down at our first date, Valentine's Day, 19-something. Long time ago, right? And we sat down and we talked about what we wanted out of life. We'd both been through a marriage and a divorce, and we said, we don't want to go through that. And we talked, and it was a great conversation. Now, as I look back, and we'll be married 24 years next Tuesday, next Tuesday, as I look back, that conversation that we had that night, most of those things that we talked about, because I'd written down on a legal pad, are existing in our life now. That one. Are y'all with me? All those things that we were able to produce because of our union together. We're better together than apart. Are you with me? And what Jesus is saying, yes, we got married. You got married when I washed you with my word. But now you must remain in life union with me. For I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life. How? Intimately joined with me. And again, that's that knowing. That knowing that is a, that, and I got to make sure that you guys understand that. That is an intimate relationship that you have with God. You know him. Wow. Know him intimately. You're in love with him. Watch what he says. I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from where? Do y'all see that? Just like a woman pregnant, things will start to come from within you. All right? All right, fruitfulness will stream from within you, but when you live separated from me, you've already been cleansed by my word, but if you're not intimately connected to me, if you live separate from me, you're powerless. And that is the state of many believers, y'all. That is the state of many believers, and that is why many believers don't see fruit in their life. Their life stays stuck. They're born again. They love the Lord, but they haven't understood this. This intimate relationship with God, this oneness with God that causes fruitfulness in your life and to produce what you can't produce on your own. Amen. Me and Shanae can't produce children on our own. It takes both of us to do that. We can't do what we can do together on our own. Y'all follow me? And you can, and Jesus says it. It's his next thing. Watch this. If a person is separate from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. Next. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it'll be done. What? How is that possible? That's possible because in this union, in this uniting of you fellowshipping and living with God in an intimate relationship. Don't get weird there. Okay, I always have to, you know, be cautious with some of these statements because some people stand in front of the closet looking at their clothes going, Lord, which shirt am I supposed to wear? And be late. Here's the answer. Clothes. Put them on. It's okay. Don't get deep. Come on, somebody. Goofy is at Disney. Not at Destiny. Come on, somebody. All right. That ought to be a t-shirt, shouldn't it? And have a picture of Goofy. You know who the one? Watch this. When your lives bear abundant fruit, this intimacy will produce abundant fruit in your life. This intimacy. Anybody want that? Come on, y'all. He says, when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you're my mature disciples who glorify my Father. That's why I've got a disciple right there. That's why I'm going to start discipling men right there. Because to make sure, and particularly men, and you'll be hearing me talk about it week after week, because probably the beginning of the year is when I'll launch all this out, and you'll be able to know that I'll be spending an hour a week with men that want to hang out with me for an hour in the week and be discipled. I need to do that so you can be fruitful in life. Be fruitful in your marriage. Be fruitful in your career. Be fruitful in life. And watch this. Jesus says, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. What? Yes. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love just as I've kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. Did you see that one? Back that one up for me if you don't mind back there. If you keep my commandments, you'll live in my love. You hear what he's saying right there? If you really live in God's love, you'll keep his commandments. And that's kind of an acid test. Oh, yes, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Whoa, yeah. But you're shacking up. You're still living in adultery. You're living in, come on, somebody. That's evidence that no, you have not had this intimate relationship yet, because it will start to shed off some of that stuff. You get what I'm saying? You can't do anything without that relationship, because it causes a pregnancy of fruit in your life. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love. And if just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live, nourished, and empowered by his love. Next. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience, Jesus says, will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Jesus says, I want this same joy that I've got. And of course, this is the day before he goes to the cross. Hello. Right? Hello. That's an old school saying right there. My mom always says it. So this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I've loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Jesus is saying, I'm going to sacrifice my life for you. You show that you're my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. That's the acid test again. If you're really in an intimate relationship with me, you want to do what I say. You want to do it. Come on, somebody. I have never called you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants. The servants don't always understand what the master is doing, but I call you my most intimate friends. Why? For I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Stop here for a second. Did you hear what he's saying? I don't call you servants. You're not servants. You're my intimate friends. Why? Because I can tell you everything. Isn't that what you want? You want him to tell you about your career. You want him to tell you about your marriage, how to do it. He says, you'll know you're my intimate friend because I can share with you stuff. I can tell you everything I've heard from my Father. Come on, anybody want that? Good. Next one, I think. Is that the one? Yes. You didn't choose me. Come on, somebody. I know we think we chose God, but God said, you didn't choose me. But I've chosen you. Anybody glad about that? Somebody dischose you and said, no, I don't want you. I know when I was growing up playing basketball, y'all remember that? They said, oh, we'll take him. And I'm standing like, okay, we'll take Lee. God says, no, you didn't choose me. I actually chose you. Does that make you happy? You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. God chose you. You're not here on accident. You're here because God's got great things in store for you, and we're going to find out what they are here. He says, you didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world. Here's our assignment. To bear fruit. To have this intimate relationship. Represent, manifest. Yeah. Conform to the image of God and manifest his glory in the earth. Bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask my Father for my sake, for his sake, he will give it to you. Come on, somebody. Do y'all get that? How is that? Because when you mesh your being with his being, and that's what being born again is and having intimacy with him is, your thoughts will begin to conform to his will. Proverbs even says that. You'll start thinking alike. Shanae and I think alike. We want the same things out of life because of our intimacy. We talk. Do y'all get it? And that's why the Bible calls this a marriage. That's what this thing is. It's this marriage where you begin to think like God. You have to get your body in control, and you do that by the Spirit that's in you, and that's what we're going to get to. Are y'all ready? Are you ready to learn tonight? Come on, y'all don't sound like you're ready to learn. Okay, just checking. All right, so again, this being is being a born-again believer, being a new creation. The Bible has a lot of these beings. When we're talking about the will of God, y'all get this? I'm a teacher, even if I didn't pastor this church. Isn't that right? When Shanae and I met and we're dating, come on, somebody, she says, I've never met a guy that just stays on the phone all night and teaches me the Bible. Because that's who I am. I'm being who I am. If I didn't work at the church and I worked at, name a company, business, Joe's company. If I worked for Joe in his company, if I worked for him, wherever, if we go out to lunch, I'm going to be talking about the Bible. Because that's who I am. So, right? And that's my secondary call. My first call is, to, and my first living in the will of God for me, the primary will of God for me and for you is to be a believer.
Right.
To be born again.
Right.
Here, let me give you some of these that are in the Bible. The Bible says that we are a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? I have to be that. I am that now. All right, I'm going to read some scripture to you in a minute that's going to really explain this. But I am an ambassador for Christ. So are you. We are Christ's personal representatives, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Isn't that right? We're ambassadors. We're God's walking billboards. We be that. If I'm not here, if I'm on vacation, if I'm at Walmart, I'm still that. Not based on if things are good or bad. That's who I am. I'm not faking that. I'm not one way here at church and then another way at home. I'm this all the time because I'm being authentic about who I am. I'm a born-again believer, not a fake Christian. And you get what I'm saying? Some people are the way they are at church, but then they're a different way at work and out wherever they go. He's saying to walk out the will of God, you've got to be this believer. Be born again. Here, let me give you another one. Being the righteousness of God. He made us righteous. We're living that out. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Being born again, according to John 3:3, right? We're being born again. We're not faking this. We're born again at work. We're born again everywhere. Being filled with the Spirit, according to Ephesians 5. We're filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit at work as well as you are on the freeway as the same that you are at church. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. I'm Christ-like here. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian here, and I'm a Christian at work. I'm a Christian at school. I'm a Christian in my office. I'm a Christian at home. I'm a Christian at the Walmart. I'm a Christian in the parking lot when somebody takes my parking space. I'm being a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing according to Galatians. I should be that all the time. I'm holy all the time. I don't cuss people out when I leave here. I'm being who I am. I am born again to be a servant. Serve at work, serve at church, serve at home, serving everywhere I go. Christ was a servant. He came to serve, not to be served. Humble, being humble. Ephesians 4 says that we're to be humble. Not do humility, be humble. That's a lifestyle. That's part of who we are. Being a witness. Acts 1:8 doesn't say go witnessing. It says be a witness. You are that representative of Christ. Y'all get what I'm saying, the difference between being and doing? John, 3 John and 2 says to, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper in. Be in health. Be health. Health is in you. And we've got to learn how to be that. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're salt and light. Everywhere we go, we're supposed to bring the flavor and bring God wherever we go. Wherever you go, you bring God there. All right? All right, here we go. All right. The will of God for you is to be conformed to the image of Christ and manifest Christ's glory regardless of your circumstances. Some people think that the will of God, when I get that job, then I'll be able to live in the will of God. No. Without a job, you still be, because the primary will of God is that you be this born-again believer. Being versus doing. Well, Pastor, as soon as I get married, then I'll live in the will of God. No. The will of God is, as you're being that believer, the will of God then will become more and more evident to you in that.
Amen.
Remember what he said in Romans chapter 12. How the will of God is lived out is when you get your body, present your body a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world by renewing your mind so that you can prove the will of God. So the will of God is lived out as I get my... I can't just be living in fornication and adultery and stealing and lying and doing the things of my old flesh, of my old man, and then say the will of God is in my life. No, I'm a new person now. I'm not who I used to be, and that's where we're going to focus today. Are y'all with me? All right. Paul, by the way, was an apostle when he was in prison with shackles on his ankles and on his hands while he was chained, right? And the sewage, the Bible lets us know, well, actually history lets us know that he was in a place where the sewage ran. And he was in prison there with Silas. In prison. And what did he do? He prays there. Why? Because that's who he is. Believers are praisers. Not when things are just going good, but all the time. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says that. This is the will of God, that you be grateful, that you're praising, you're thankful. That's part of the will of God. That's part of who you are. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're not going to see the will of God until you be who you're born to be. Are y'all listening to me? Come on, y'all. All right. Let me go in a little bit deeper. Y'all ready? All right. So the will of God is for you to be conformed to the image of Christ and manifest Christ's glory regardless of your circumstances. How this works, y'all remember this? In the Old Testament, all right, let me put it like this. When you got born again, Christ himself is living on the inside of you. Not a little bit of Christ, all of Christ is living on the inside of you. In the same way, now watch, this is a mystery. Paul, the whole New Testament says over and over and over, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. And what he's talking about, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight, is how in the Old Testament, God, as big as he is, the infinite, omniscient God, was somehow in a box called the Ark of the Covenant, kept in the temple of the tabernacle of Moses. Now, the tabernacle of Moses is simply a picture of who we are today. Three parts of the tabernacle. The outer court, right? Which represents the body. Anybody would come in there. Anybody could come with a sacrifice, and all kinds of things could come into the outer court. Just like with your body. A whole bunch of stuff can go on, right? But then there was the inner court, the holy place. And there was just two articles that were in there, and only, not everybody could go in there, the priest could go in there. And they'd eat the show bread. There was a candelabra in there, right? The candelabra, that seven candelabra thing, right? Candle, golden candlesticks, which represent the light of Christ. Those two things that were in there. But one article in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, one thing in there, and it's the Ark of the Covenant, and it is where God resided. God of the entire universe lived in a golden box, a box made of wood covered in gold with blood sprinkled on it. And watch this, in that most holy place, only one person could go one time a year. Who was he? The high priest. Who is the high priest today? What's his name? Now get it, because this is all a picture. That holy place represents your spirit. And once you got born again, guess who lives in there? The high priest. What's his name again? Jesus. Now, the mystery to this whole thing is, how does the God of the universe reside in a box? That if the high priest went in once a year and actually had sin in his life, remember, because he had to come in. If you can read it in Hebrews, you can read it in Leviticus and Exodus, you can read it all in there. But he had to come with blood of a lamb, an innocent lamb, for himself, and blood for the people of Israel. And if you remember, the high priest had special garments on. I've taught on all these, the high priestly garments. And in his priestly gown, it had bells around it. Bells around it that made noise. And history tells us that they would tie a rope to his ankle, because if he went in there with the blood and he had sin in his life, guess what? And if you hear the bells, it's all good. But they were out there like, Lord, let him come on. This is not the job that anybody wanted. In fact, they didn't run for that. That was not an electric job. You were not elected for that job. God said, you're the one. He was like, oh. Hold on. That's when you do that. Right? Because nobody really wanted that job. But right? So why was this so phenomenal? It was such a great mystery, because if he went in there and everything wasn't right in his life, and they didn't hear those bells, but they heard this. They're pulling him out. Because you could die going in the presence of God. Why? Because he's God. He's too big for humanity to stand in front of. So how in the world did he get in that box? The whole picture is because all of God lives on the inside of you. All of him. Now, you've got to understand that in order to make for this transformation to occur in your life. And that's what I want to do tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you on this topic briefly, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because this union with Christ is going to change every single thing in your life. Because it's God of the universe. Let me show it to you in the scripture so you understand what I'm talking about. Are y'all with me? So the same way that God was in the tabernacle of Moses in a y'all get it, with a wooden box, shittim wood, the Bible says, and had, in fact, we've had a replica made back there somewhere, over here somewhere, and it was overlaid with gold. Ours isn't real gold, no panic. Just in case some of you are still fighting that stealing devil. It's inside, remember, it had a lid on the top of it, made of solid gold, beaten and made in solid gold with two cherubim over it, the eyes of God, right? These creatures with the six wings and the eyes, all that stuff, looking over the mercy seat where the high priest would come in once a year on the Day of Atonement and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And remember, inside of the box are three articles that represent man's rebellion. Remember all that? And the lid was covered over it in solid gold, because gold always in the Bible represents deity, right? Silver always represents redemption. Brass or bronze always represents judgment. So all the things in the outer court were made of bronze, because that's where the lamb would be killed. Every article in the outer court was made of bronze. Remember when God told Moses when the people had rebelled, and he had to put a snake on that post and make it of bronze. Why? Judgment. Why was it a snake and not a lamb? Because the curse, all the curse went into the lamb. And whoever beheld it would be healed. And that is a sign of, what is it called? Caduceus. This is what you see on your medical bill now. That staff with the snake on it, because that came from Moses and it represented healing. Bronze. All of the curse that the devil had for sickness, all of it went into Jesus, right? Okay, so inside of that, the three articles, and it was covered with the mercy seat and sprinkled with blood, so God, with the eyes are on the blood and never on man's rebellion, right? And God resided there. If you read in Exodus, he says, I will meet you there at the mercy seat. So God of the universe lived in that Ark of the Covenant. That's where he resided. That's everywhere the children of Israel went in the Old Testament, they brought that. When they didn't do it according to the scriptures, they died. Remember Uzzah? What's his name? Uzzah? Where they get the word Uzi? Remember it fell, and he tried to catch it, and he touched it, and he died. Fell down and died. And David was terrified about all that stuff. It had to be handled exactly according to scriptures and not the way man wanted to handle it. Are you with me? And so God dwelt there. And so what God was showing us is, I'm going to, that three-part tabernacle is now you. You're that tabernacle, and I live and dwell in you now. So Paul talks over and over and over about this. In every epistle, he talks about it because he calls it a great mystery. Let's look at it. Are y'all with me? The same way he was in the tabernacle is the same way he was in Jesus. Only Jesus manifested, here he is now, that body, manifesting God's glory in the earth. Right? Now remember this. That curtain, when Jesus went to the cross, because remember the presence of God was in that Ark of the Covenant behind a thick curtain, right? It was five colors. And when Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead, remember what happened? It says it tore from the top to the bottom and ripped. What was that a picture of? It was a picture of the presence of God now, not just being confined on the inside, but now having access to the whole body. When you have intimate relationship with Jesus, The presence of God that's in here right now permeates and comes forth because of your relationship with Jesus. Y'all need to know that. Are y'all with me? Everybody following? Are you learning? All right, get ready to learn for real now. Put your seatbelt on. I'm going to take you for a ride. Are y'all ready? Now, again, I didn't say this last thing, that today we are that body. The picture that was the tabernacle, now we are the body of Christ. We are that body of Christ. Are you with me? And each of us are triune beings, and God lives on the inside. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, and I can find similar passages in every epistle. Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, all of us has some writings like this. Watch this. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Paul says here, there's a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations. Y'all hear him talking about it in the epistle, this mystery, right? He says, but now it's being revealed, unfolded, manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. That passage in the King James says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Do y'all get this? The Bible says that all of the earth will glorify the Lord. Y'all know this. All of creation does. The trees do. The Bible talks about how the trees lift their hands, which are their limbs, and they praise God. The grass praises God. Mine isn't praising God right now. Hopefully after the rain today, it is. But all the animals. Do you know that every animal is walking in the will of God? And the Bible says they're earnestly waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. To manifest his glory. They all do. They all conform to the will of God and do what they're born to do, except for one creation, mankind. Man is the only one that has rebelled against giving God glory. God's will is that all creation gives him glory. So what he wants us to do is to represent his glory in the earth. Now watch what he says here. Living within you is Christ who floods you with the expectation, the hope, that's what it means. Hope, the expectation of revealing God's glory. What is God's glory? God's glory is his essence. All right? The essence, y'all see this orange in my hand? The essence of the orange is that juice that's on the inside of it. The essence of an eagle is its 6-foot wingspan and how it soars above the mountains and above the clouds and can fly with jets. It's huge. That's its essence. The essence of Luther Vandross is that when you hear somebody do that, you go, are they trying to be like Luther? Because that's Luther's. That's his essence, right? Y'all remember Anita Baker? Yeah. Anita Baker with that deep, sultry voice. If somebody else sang like that, you go, they're trying to sing like Anita Baker. If anybody ever tried to sing like Mick Jagger, you go, that's Mick Jagger. He's trying to copy Mick Jagger because that's what his thing is. You get it? God's glory is the essence of who he is, and each of us are to reflect that glory in the earth. Right? That's the will of God. And so he says, Christ living on the inside of you is the hope of you living out that and expressing that glory. Because Christ is in you, that's how you're able to do that. Without it, you can't. Okay? This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest, kind of like the Ark of the Covenant, of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. God wants everyone to see him in you. This is how you live out the will of God. Your life now is in union with Christ. How does an apple live out the will of God? By being an apple. Are you with me? An apple, because of its roots from the tree, becomes the apple. It's doing what it was supposed to do. We, now that we're born again, we're connected onto the tree with God. We're supposed to be this glory representation of God. When you see Trey, you see me and Shanae. I saw him standing up there with Shanae on the stage. I was like, wow, look how tall he is now. And he is Shanae and I. You get that? He came from us. You now have come from God. And his will for you is to represent him, to manifest his glory. And you can do that if you're employed or not. And where people miss it is they're waiting to do that for circumstances to be a certain way. And that's wrong. You'll always hamper the doing, the having, and the going if you don't become the being. I'm teaching y'all a mouthful right here, and y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to do my job anyway. Okay, what verse am I in? Okay, Christ is our message then. Our message isn't do right, do this, do that. He said, no, no, we have to preach Christ, right? We preach to awaken the hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration, Paul says, and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity with his power flowing through me, to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ. He says, the reason I'm alive is to make sure you understand this. You're now connected to Christ. Your life is connected to him. You're now to represent his glory. That's the purpose of your life and my life. Now watch it, y'all. Do you get how important that is? And so that's why Paul, every time he talks about the will of God, he says, don't live like the rest of the world. Don't live like unbelievers. Don't do that. When you take your body in a wrong direction, you stop the will of God from flowing through you. To present to every believer the revelation. Okay, all right. Let's go to this one. Colossians, by the way, is an amazing book because all it's about is who you are in Christ. You have a brand new identity. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Go over one book, one chapter. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. In him. What's his name? You got it. In Christ. And where is he? He's on the inside of you. Watch this. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him. In you right now is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in you now. Right? Go down to the whole chapter is awesome, but go to verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Here's that union again, all right? Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with what? Thankfulness. Here's some of that fruit of being who you're born to be. Thankfulness. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I got. Uh-uh. You're focusing on the wrong thing. If you're focused on who you are in Christ, thankfulness will happen naturally. That's part of that fruit of being connected to him. If you're unthankful, ungrateful, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on doing, having, or going and not being. Because you're saved. You're a Christian. And everything he is on the inside of you. Ooh, let's read on. It's going to get better. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world. Rather than from Christ, he says, don't be duped by the world. Your focus needs to be on Christ. Why? Because you've got a brand new identity. You're not who you used to be. Watch where we're going. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God. Why is this a great mystery? How in the world does the God who created the stars that are infinite, the sun, how is that God living in little old me? This is a great mystery, but if you'll understand this, you'll see that your life will be completely radically changed by connecting with what's already on the inside of you. Stick with me. We're going to keep reading. Are y'all with me? Amen. The fullness in a human body. Next. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. Everything you want and need is already on the inside of you now in Christ. Everything. But Pastor, I need this healing. But Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You got to get intimate with him. Now, I'm going to make that real plain for you, so don't panic, all right? All right? You're complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Next. Verse 11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ. This is not theory here. This is spiritual truth and fact. What happened to you and I when we got born again? You're a triune being. You are spirit. You possess a soul. Your mind, will, intellect, emotions, and imagination, right? Your personality, all that. And you live in an earth suit called a body. When you got born again, your human spirit left. God took it and replaced it with 100% Jesus. No, you didn't get that. You didn't get that, or that would blow your mind right there. Pastor, but I don't feel it. Thank goodness. Why do you think they couldn't roll up on Jesus, roll up on the Ark of the Covenant like that? It's too much. Yes. Pastor, I couldn't feel anything when I got saved. Thank God. Yes. You probably would have just exploded. And just like the mystery of how God could be contained in a golden box, somehow, this is the great mystery, he's all contained on the inside of you. One third of you is 100% Jesus. Hold on, read it again. For you were buried with, who was buried with Christ? The old you was. But I can't feel it. You can't feel spirit. Get that out. I feel my help coming on. You feel your emotions. No, I'm not throwing shade at anybody. No, because God can be tangible, but goosebumps is not God. And I like goosebumps, and I like feeling God and all that, and I'm a very emotional person. Y'all know that. I cry at the drop of a hat. Are you with me? I can sense, and usually I'm just overwhelmed when I read something like that and go, wow, this really happened to you and I, and most never get it. And Paul says in Romans chapter 6, you've got to reckon yourself dead. The old you is gone. The Bible calls it the old man. It was completely replaced with 100% Jesus. Your spirit is one with Christ now. The old you is gone. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. That doesn't mean water baptized. That means when he came in and immersed your spirit with him. You is gone, and now, watch this. And with him you were raised to a new life because you trust. You have a completely new life now. Trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Next. You were dead because of your sins. Now watch, y'all. God. And next week, this is where I'm going to explain all this. Because what happened with Adam? Adam was a triune being. He, when God created him, what did he do? The Bible says he formed man of the dust of the ground. That means his body. And breathed into him the breath of life. Pneuma. The breath of God. The breath of God is God's spirit. And the Bible says, and he became a living soul. Soul is mind, will, and intellect, emotion. So when God breathed his spirit into him, he became a living soul. The body is merely a reflection, a container reflecting what was happening on the inside of him. He would have lived forever when his spirit was made union with God. He was born from God. He got born again into death in reverse. Are you with me? That's what happened when he sinned. When God said, the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. He lived 930 years. After that, he was born a man. He died 930 years later. But what happened? His spirit... Death means separated from God. When you die, all that happens is your spirit separates from your body. When he died, so now he's living in death. And this is why Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again? No. that which is spirit is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. You got to be born of water. He said, if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even comprehend this. All right? So he was a three-part being, and his spirit now is walking in separation from God. God is no longer in his spirit. So what happens 930 years later? He dies. Physically, he'd already died spiritually. Spiritual death is separation from God. When we got born again, God re-put his spirit back in us. Replace your spirit with his. And it's, see, because you say, but I'm still thinking the same, because he didn't replace your soul. That's what Paul said you've got to do. You got to renew your mind and then present your bodies. And Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 6. Whoever you yield your members to, that's who you're going to serve. All right? All that, we'll get to that. All right? But watch what this says. You were dead because of your sins, right? We're born in sin. Because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Yet God made you alive. How? With Christ. So Christ now is living in my Ark of the Covenant, in my spirit, 100% Christ. The whole God of the universe, the fullness of the Godhead, is living on the inside of you right now. How come I can't feel it? How come I can't? So Paul says, listen, if you want this glory to come out from just in behind the veil, you've got to have this intimate relationship with Jesus. All right? Did I read all that one? Okay. You were dead because of your sins, because of the sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave you forgave all our sins. All right? He canceled the record of charges against us and took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Anybody glad about that? You are 100% right with God. All right? Is that the last one? Go to chapter 3 and verse 3. Follow along in your Bible too, because if you just got New King James, it's still going to read really good. Mark these verses. All right? Look at this. For you died to this life. Okay, not in theory, not in principle, in reality. The old you is gone. You're not who you used to be. But if you don't yield to him that now resides on the inside of you by getting your body under control, and he'll do that for you too, and renewing your mind to the word, he will not do that for you. You have to do that. That's what you're doing right now. Give yourselves a round of applause. This is absolutely necessary. Are you with me? By renewing your mind, that will of God, the Christ that's in you, can begin to manifest and change every aspect of life. Look at this. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden where? Christ in God. Where is Christ? In you. Do you get it? Read that one again. I love this verse. For you died to this life. Do y'all get that? Your old sinful life, you died to that. And your real life is hidden with Christ now in God. Go to the next one. And when Christ, who is your life, that's why you're alive now. You're alive now because Christ is your life. Your spirit is 100% Christ now. All right? And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. What is he talking about there? He's talking about when Christ comes and returns. The Bible says it in John. He says, when we see him, we'll be like him, because we'll see him like he is. And what Paul is saying here, between now and the time he comes, there's a transformation that's going on in you. While the old man the flesh is dying, the new man is, the inward man is being renewed day by day by you getting in the word. Every day you're being renewed, and that glory that Christ is going to be shown in you more and more. The day he comes, you're going to be just like him. And for some of us, if we're gone already, we're going to be translated. Y'all know this. When people in heaven don't have a body. All right? Y'all know that. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, right? Absent from the body. You don't get a new body until Christ comes back. Those who are alive and remain, they'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and they'll get a new body. But we get a new body. That body, and Romans chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about this, that right now we have the Spirit of Christ, and the Bible calls it our heart. Our heart is a combination of your soul and your spirit, closely intertwined. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says only the Word of God can separate the two, and it breaks it down real clear. We'll get to that. All right, but your heart. Your heart, your soul, and your spirit. If anyone is born again and they went to heaven, that's where they are now. They're not going to stay in heaven, and neither are you and I. Okay, I don't want to mess up your theology and make you backslide and drop out of church. But you're not going to reign for. The Bible says you reign forever on earth, not in heaven. Heaven is temporary for the believer. Okay, that's a long story, but that's why you need a new body. And that new body is going to be like Jesus' body.
Right.
All right, there's a whole chapter on that. We'll get to that as well. All right, but you see, when you got born again, you got the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself. You are born again. So watch what he says in Colossians 3:5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Where? That's in your body and your mind. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Every time he talks about this, he talks about sexual immorality. Impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. He said, get disconnected from that. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Next. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now, say now, is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Come on, somebody. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. As you're being renewed in your mind, this glory of God begins to come out, and the will of God begins to, without your effort, be fulfilled in your life. Just like an apple grows because of its roots, you get connected to that vine, it's going to start producing it in your life. Watch. Verse 11. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew, a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, black, white, brown, yellow, employed, unemployed. He said, this is who you are now. Be that.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
It's who you are that causes the will of God to be lived out in your life. Yes. Is anybody learning this? Man, this is blessing me, my socks off. All right, go to the next one. Is that the last one there? Go jump to 16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. That's part of that fruit. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Y'all see that? Jump on in your Bible. Now, Paul understood this. In Galatians, he writes, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Look what Paul said. Y'all there? Mark it in your Bible. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Listen, the old me is dead. I get this. How many of y'all are getting that? Now watch, y'all. This is something you'll have to meditate on and really get, because more of us are attuned to who we are in the flesh. And I'm going to read some passages. Paul says, hereafter we know no one after the flesh. More of us are connected to our nationality, being black, being white, being Hispanic, than we are being born again. We're more aware and connected to who we are in the flesh than who we are in Christ, which causes a great divide in our nation, which causes a great divide in the world. When we're more related to, when we say more that black lives matter or some lives matter more than Christ matters, we got this thing twisted. We're more, I'm already offending people. But do you get it? That's why we get caught up in, Paul, let me let Paul say it to you first of all. He says it in Corinthians. Let's just read the Bible. That way I stay out of offense. I've been crucified with Christ. Say, I've been crucified with Christ. That means the old you is dead. Y'all get that? The old you is dead. It is no longer I who live. It's not me. And you get what he's saying? Me. The old me's gone. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life now is hidden in Christ. I am one with Christ. Hold up, watch this. When I say, I'm just going to show you association here. When I say Michael Jordan, what's the first word that comes to mind? Basketball. When I say Tiger Woods, what's the first word? Golf. I knew she was going to do that. I knew she was. He's back now. He's winning again. Let it go. Let it go. When I say Christ, our association should be me. When I say Christ, when I say, okay, well, I can't say LeBron James. He's on the news now. Basketball. Tiger Woods. Golf. When I say Jesus Christ, our association should be me. Not black me, not half white me, not part Indian me, not Democrat or Republican me. Many of us are more associated with our political, the color of our skin, our political affiliations, than we are with Christ. And that's what the Bible calls living in the flesh. And why we get offended so easy is because we don't know who we are. We know temporarily who we were and temporarily who we are. Are y'all getting what I'm saying right there? And Paul is saying, the old me is dead. And that's why he said, it doesn't matter what accolades and degrees and this and all that. He said, I count that all as dung for Christ. I know who I am now. And my righteousness is not of the law. My righteousness is of him. Everything he is who I am now. Amen. That's what's going to cause your life to radically change. Get rid of the, turn off the news and stop letting people tell you who you are. Turn on the good news and find out who you really are. When you turn on the news and start letting the liars on the news and on television tell you who you are, you're going to be a mixed up, broke down Christian. Still living under the culture of the world. Am I preaching too strong here? Am I smiling? I think I lost my smile. Let me. I put a lot of money on these teeth. Come on. All right. Y'all following what I'm saying? This is what's going to make the difference between a carnal Christian and a believer that glorifies God. A believer that glorifies God isn't caught up in the stuff of the world. They didn't get attached to that. They know that this is not my permanent assignment. I'm here passing through temporarily. I'm here as a representative of Christ. I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Let's read on. Ooh, I'm getting now. I feel my help coming. Actually, I'm just getting inspired and stirred up. All right. Look over at, I'm almost done. Turn to Ephesians. Oh my God, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, good God, the book of Galatians, the book of Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians kind of talks about the return of Christ. But they all talk about this. This is what Paul, you know, he had the Pauline epistles to the church. Then he had the Pauline epistles to pastors. Book of Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, all those are to Pastor Titus. Those are writings to leaders, and they're written a little bit different, but he's leading them. But all the Pauline epistles to the church, grace and peace to you, Paul the apostle, called to, and right, and he's writing to the church. They all say the same things. You are to represent Christ, and he's teaching us who we are. Ephesians is so awesome. Watch this one. Verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Watch this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Heavenly places means in the spirit realm. That's in your spirit, in Christ. You've already been blessed with everything in Christ. Where is Christ?
In you.
Everything in Christ is in you right now. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, right? All that's in you. Without blame, before him in love, all that's in you. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, right? Watch these words. According to the good pleasure of his will. What is his will? Back up for me 1 second. Just as he chose us in him. When the Bible says in him, it's talking about you being in Christ and Christ being in you. I point at my stomach because he's in my spirit. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. We've been adopted to him according to the good pleasure. What is his will? That now he lives in me and I live in him. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us highly favored. That's carry to, accepted in the beloved. I'm in him. Right? Look at this, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Next. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. What is that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed where? Which is where? Hold up, leave that verse up there for a second. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which is purposed in himself. Do y'all get that? His will is that you're in him and he's in you. And you live that. All right, now next, please. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things that are in Christ. Who's that? All of us. God wants all of us, and that's what it's coming to. Y'all get this? We are not going to stay for here forever. We're in this state. He's going to gather everything that's in Christ into one, and we're going to reign and rule in the earth. Right? Man gathers together in one thing's all Christ. Watch this. Which are in heaven, there's a bunch of people that are in Christ in heaven, and which are on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Hold up. I've got an inheritance now that he's in me. We're going to obtain an inheritance. We have already obtained an inheritance. Say, I've got it now. Are y'all getting what I'm saying right here? It's like we're looking for something out here to have the Lord do this, and it's right here already. He's saying, no, just be intimate with me, and I'll work it out. The Bible says, work out your salvation. And what the word literally means is, it's in you. Let it be worked out. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? In him we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works out all things according to the counsel of. Everything's going to work out for his will as we get this union with him, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. We who trusted in him, our lives should give praise, give glory to God. That we who trusted in the glory. Next. Okay. Jump to verse. Yes, 15. Thank you. And we're going to go all the way through 2. Watch this. Ooh, we're good. Therefore, now watch. This is the prayer that Paul prays. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's his prayer. That the God and Father, and the God and Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epinosis of him. Leave that one up there for me. In the epinosis of him. That word right there means in the intimate relationship knowledge of him. Like I know Shanae, I don't know anybody else like I know Shanae. God is saying, Paul is saying here, I pray you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation, intimate knowledge is that's living on the inside of you, who you are now. Next. The eyes of your understanding being, one translation says, flooded with light. New King James. Enlightened that you may know. Same word again. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Where? in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might. He said, the same power that's on the inside of you, that was inside of that box in the Old Testament tabernacle of Moses, that same power is on the inside of you. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Watch this. The fullness of him who fills, Lee Stokes version, all of y'all. The fullness of him, back up. The fullness of him fills every one of us. God, give me more power. There is no more. You have it all. The same power that created the universe is in you. There's no more, y'all. It's all. Well, if I could just get over this common cold. I'm just so sad and depressed. You're not connected to who you are. You're more connected to Black Lives Matter. It's Christ's life that matters. Go to the next one, chapter 2. Hurry up before somebody gets mad at me. And you, he made, don't you love that? And you. Don't you love it when he's talking to you? Come on. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once had our conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, do you get what he's saying? You used to be crazy like that, and you had no choice because God, you were living in your own old dead spiritual nature. Your body just reacted. Of course, the devil led your mind to do crazy stuff. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. How? With Christ. By grace you've been saved. Next. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus, I'll explain all this, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, who? In Christ Jesus. Is that the last one? All right, jump over to 2 Corinthians. Real quickly, we're closing right here. This is my last passage. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Say, I'm dead. To your old self is what he's talking about here. Because he died, your old self is dead. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He's saying your life is no longer to be lived like it used to. You're not you anymore. You're him now in the earth. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, not according to their nationality, not according to whatever you are. We don't know you like that anymore. Stop knowing yourself like that and siding with people that have no idea who Christ is, therefore have no idea who you are. Stop being duped by some false identity that you get on TV. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We don't know Christ after the flesh. Just the apostles knew him like that, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, spiritual all, anyone, is black, white, brown, yellow, rich, poor, slim, thick, whatever. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. Your and my new perspective is now what God says about us. Not CNN, not any of the other news networks. this good news. And if you're getting your identity from watching television, you're wrong, and you're not going to be able to display who you really are. Manifest the glory of God. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Reconciled, it's an accounting term. I've got an accounting degree. What that means is re-become one. Adam was one with God till he sinned. He's saying now be remade one. Reconciled. He re-won us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of re-wanting, of unification, of becoming one with Christ, reconciling. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciling. Now then, we are ambassadors, Christ's personal representatives, as though God were pleading, how now? Through our lives. That's your assignment. That's the will of God for your life. Amen. When you go to work tomorrow, when you leave here, I'm not talking about being deep and mean. I'm talking about having a real relationship with Christ so that the fruit of his life now flows through your life. Finishing. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in him. Is that the last verse? Close your Bible.